The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Many a writer, many a poet, many a songwriter has attributed to God the characteristic of an artist, and we, his painting. He's doing something we can't always see and we don't understand, but when he does it, it's a beautiful thing. When the colors, when the shapes, when the composition of the artwork all comes together, and you step back and he said, "It's finished. This is it. This is what I was trying to make." We say, "Wow, I would have never dreamed." Here's what I'm trying to say to you guys. You're here at college with a bit of a disadvantage in that you don't know what your future is going to be. None of us does. But we have this blessed assurance. We have this great confidence that what God is doing in our life is something bigger than we could ever dream or imagine. He will take you farther. He will do more with you. He will expand you. He will stretch you. It may be a little uncomfortable at times. College life may be a little uncomfortable at times. The learning process, the growing process, the building process that you're in is something that you may not have chosen for yourself. But I'm confident in this, that what he's doing in you is a masterpiece. You give a child a crayon and a piece of paper and say, "Draw something beautiful for me." And without much thought, he puts crayon to page and something comes out. It's color on a paper. There's not much direction to it. Certainly not much shape. And it doesn't really look like what it's supposed to. Sometimes when I draw, it feels like that. Why? Because I don't have the forethought. I don't have the ability to picture. Some of you in here are studio art. Some of you are graphic design. Some of you are artists. We see your work hanging in the VPA and we say, "Good night, where did that come from? That is absolutely beautiful. You had this picture. You had this mental image of what it was you were trying to portray. And with some forethought, with some design, you were able to capture the essence of what you wanted to communicate." God is indeed a master artist. The ultimate creator. He spoke this world into existence with amazing effortless ease. He just said, "Let there be light." And there was light. But it wasn't just that simple. Because he knew that when he created light, it would have certain characteristics. It would travel 186,282 miles per second. He knew that it would act certain ways when it crossed certain media. It acts with such precision, light does, that we can measure it. We can put numbers to it. There is precision and design. And so for all of the complexity, we can't even describe. Is it a wave? Is it a ray? What is the thing? We don't know for sure what light is. But God, in his infinite wisdom, in his omniscience, just speaking it, puts the laws of nature into effect. Gravity, quantum mechanics, chemistry, biology, the things about which we know very little, but are learning that there is great precision and design in God's creation. When we study science, we say that we think God's thoughts after him. In other words, we try to uncover a little bit about how God must have thought. But he did so in such creative ease that he could just say, "Let there be." And there was, and it was good. He's a creator, but not an abstract creator, not without design. He had a plan for this universe. Paul Dirac, the great theoretical physicist from England in the last century, said God chose to create the universe using very beautiful mathematics. In other words, we can measure what God did with such precision that we can put numbers to it. He had a plan, in other words, for his universe. His mastery in the artistry of his creation is also very precise. And here's the great thing. When he created you, he had that same intentional forethought. And this is the great thing about being here at Pensacola Christian College. And why I say I'm so excited about you being here. And why I think it feels just right for us to be here together. And you are just the best student body for this place right now. You are what God called here. Because God has a plan for your life. As much as he had a plan for this universe, as much as precision and design went into the thinking of his creation in the world around us. Well, the psalmist said it this way, that he knew our substance. In fact, our members were written in his book when as yet there were none of them. He knows who you are. He knows how you would be created. He knows your desires and your hopes. He knows your strengths, your abilities. Some of you have gone to your first class and you're saying, I don't have an ability for this. I am not ready to be a college student. I've been a homeschool student all my life. I've never even been in a classroom. Or you come from a school setting that it wasn't as organized. Or you come from high school and you're just saying college is completely different. And you say, I don't have the ability for this. God knows. He created you. But he also called you. He called you to be here. He gave you the academic ability that you have. Hear me, dear friend. God is making in your life a masterpiece. I'm confident of this. He has a plan for you. And faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. He didn't bring you here to Pensacola Christian College and just say, well, good luck. He brought you here and said, well, it's time to take the next step. It's time to grow a little bit. It's time for you to be expanded. God's a builder. He's an artist. But he's also a builder. The Bible talks several places about man builds several things, but God builds all things. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For we, Paul, the apostles, the individuals who brought the gospel to them, for we are laborers together with God. And you are his husbandry, as if a grove, an orchard that needed tended. He goes on to say, ye are God's building. We just work with God. You're what God's building. You're the masterpiece. You're the architecture. You are the structure that he's building day at a time. God's a great builder. God has a plan for your life. He's building something in your life that only he can do. As your college president, I want to say this to you. I've prayed for you to be here. I've prayed this. Lord, I don't know how many students we're going to have. However many students we have, bring us just the students you would have. Place a call on each life. Work in their lives. Work in each student's life. That he would answer, she would answer the call for what it is you're preparing them to do. So I believe, I've said this to you before, I believe you're here in answer to God's call. In answer to God's ability to build something in your life that only he can build. So we, these faculty that are sitting in the loge, That weird area over there on the side is called the loge. Those faculty, we administration, we're just contractors. You hired us. Be clear. You hired us to do something for you. We're not here to impose our will on you. We're not here to tell you the way we think things should be done. Oh, we may have an opinion. We're here to partner with you. God called us here as well. We believe our investment is in building you, the next generation of leaders, to influence the world for Christ. And you hired us. You partnered with us. So we have a commitment to you. Our commitment must be this. Our commitment must be that we build together. We give you some tools so that you can construct with God on a right foundation. The Bible talks about foundations in several places. You understand the biblical foundation that I'm talking about. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus, seeing a multitude, went away to the side of a hill. The people apparently followed. His disciples came to him, the scripture said, and he began to teach. In just a moment, we'll get to Matthew chapter 7, but Jesus starts the discourse back in chapter 5, and he says this. He said, I want to share with you some foundational principles upon which you can build your life. First of all, I want you to understand values. Things that are important. Not just what the world says is important. Not what you see on TV is important. Not what you think other people say is important. But what does the Bible say? What do I say as God, Jesus being God himself? What do I say is important? He said, what's important? What will make you blessed? He gives the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are meek. He gives values. He said this is a foundation for your life. In addition to values, he gives purpose. He said there's a reason for you to be here. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's your purpose. That's why you're here. So I'm giving you values. I'm giving you purpose. He talks about motivation. He said, why do you do things? He said, if you give alms, if you give money, how do you do it? Don't do it in front of everybody. If you pray, don't do it openly. Go to your closet. If you fast, don't draw your face. Don't look for men's praise. Do it secretly. What's your motivation? Is it for praise or is it to honor God? He gives motivation. And then the fourth point in his discourse, he says, I want you to know how to interact with other people. There are some people around you that need things. Give them what they need. Help them. Be their friend. There are some people that you're going to think don't live up to your standard. Don't judge them. You're worried about a speck in their eye. You've got a beam in yours. Don't judge. Be discerning. There are some that are really wolves in sheep's clothes. So what Jesus does, just like we do here at the college, is he says, let me share with you some values, what's important biblically. Let me share with you your purpose. Why are you here? What's your motivation? Why are you trying to get a college degree? What's your reason for studying what you're studying? And then how can you get along with each other? How can you get along in a world that needs Christ? And then at the very end of the thing, he says this in Matthew chapter 7. Look down at verse 24. Therefore, you know these verses. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine, I'm talking value, purpose, motivation, interaction. You hear these things of mine and doeth them, I'll liken them to a wise man, which built his house on a rock. Rains descend, floods came, beat on the house, it fell not. It was built on a rock. It was founded on a rock. Everyone that heard these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Built his house on sand. The rains came. Great was the destruction of it. I have an encouragement for you. Today it's simple. These are opening meetings. We would like to have had Shane Lewis here to have spoken. But in his stead, let me say this as an affirmation to you. We're proud of you. We're honored to serve you in this place. You've hired us to partner with you in the building of something, and that something is your life under God's construction, under God's watchful eye. Build your life on the right foundation, with the right values, the right purpose, the right motivation, the right interaction with other people. And realize this, we're here at college to build something together. You're here for a reason. That reason is to get a Christian education. It's what God's called you uniquely to. You can't get that just anywhere. You have to go to a place that has the right kind of tools, that has the right kind of foundation, that has the right kind of precepts. Pensacola Christian College is uniquely Christian. It's who we are. It's more than just our name. It's our very identity. It's our core. And you're here to learn Christian values and purpose and motivation and interaction. So please understand that that's our commitment to you. I'm promising you that that is what we want to fulfill in your life. That being said, let's just all agree, we know why we're here. I don't have so much a message for you today as a prayer. I met recently, just on Saturday and yesterday, with new parents. These are parents of new students who are here. And I shared with those parents the prayer that I have for you. I want to share it with you as well. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you personally. I don't know your name. Many of you I haven't even met yet. But I've been praying for you. I've been praying that God would do something, not corporately, not as a big group, but personally in your life. This is my prayer for you. And I hope it'll be your prayer as well. My first prayer is this. I pray that God will give you good friends. I've been praying that for you. Before you've even arrived, I've prayed, God, give them good friends. I know this, don't you? That friends can make or break a college career. Friends can either build you up or tear you down. Some of you have left home and you've come here away from some friends who have not been a good influence in your life. And you're kind of glad. You're kind of relieved. I don't need to be under that kind of pressure. Now, while you're here, don't get back into it with the wrong kind of friends. Make friends that will encourage you, that will support you. If we've agreed that God's building something in your life, if we've agreed that He's doing a masterpiece that only He could do, if we've agreed that you are here to learn, that's why you're here. Yeah, but the beach is just down the road. And no, you're not here to go to the beach. Fine if you do, but you're here to learn. Yeah, but Chick-fil-A. I know. But you're here to learn. Yeah, but Sports Center, Collegian, we got all these things. Those are all great things. But remember why you're here. You're here to learn. You're here to let God build something. And won't you agree with me that friends around you can, to a strong extent, help to build, help to encourage what it is you're here to do. So I'm praying that God will give you the right kind of friends. Good friends that will encourage your study habits. Good friends that will encourage you to abide by the standards of expectation. Good friends that will help you to make right decisions. A good friend that will give you timely advice. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I'm asking God to give you somebody, some bodies that will sharpen you. That's my prayer for you. See, I know this, that if you're here to learn, then you need to have certain things that will help you learn, and friends are one of those things that will help you to learn most effectively. I'm also praying that God will make you a good friend yourself. Not just give you friends, but make you a good friend. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18. It's an antithetical proverb. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, before you interpret that the wrong way, to say, well, if I want friends, I just have to be a friendly person, you need to understand what the scripture is really saying. It says this, literally in the Hebrew, a man that wants to have a lot of friends has to constantly be given out in order to keep those friends happy. Literally in the Hebrew, a man that has friends who are not reliable will bring him to waste, will bring him to nothing. So a man that hath friends has to spend a lot, has to give a lot of himself. It's antithetical in that we're saying a man who has the wrong kind of friends or wants too many friends for the wrong reason will waste himself. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In other words, there's a wrong kind of friend, a kind of friend who will take advantage of you, that always demands your friendliness, that always demands of you. Or there's the right kind of friend, a friend that's reliable, that's not demanding, who is upbuilding, who will build you up in Christ. That kind of a friend sticks closer than a brother. So I'm asking you, dear college student, pray with me that God will give you good friends. And pray that you'll be the right kind of friend. My second prayer for you is this. I'm praying for your time management. I'm praying that God will help you to use your time well while you're here. We had a mom, a new parent mom, ask a question in our question and answer time. She said, so my son doesn't like to get out of bed. Who's going to call and get him out of bed every morning? And we said, well, we're at college now. He needs to be a grown-up. We expect him to get himself out of bed. So if that was your mom, please understand. We need you to take ownership for your own time, for your own study. You got to manage yourself. Get up. Get to your class. Attend your classes. Know your schedule. My third prayer is this, that you grow spiritually. I'm praying that God will give you good friends. I'm praying that God will help you to manage your time. I'm also praying that you will grow spiritually. Not just in church, not just in chapel, but personally. My greatest thrill would be that you stand at the end of a school year a different person than you are now. Maybe not physically, maybe not even mentally, but definitely spiritually. It's my personal prayer for each one of you.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.